Welcome to the Balance Babes podcast. I'm Kim Perez.
I'm Amanda Montalvo.
And we are functional nutritionists trained in a holistic, integrative approach to health and are founders of the Balance Babe Method and Facebook group.
We are on a mission to help women learn how to nourish their bodies, balance their hormones, and feel good in their skin.
Because we've both dealt with our own health struggles, we are passionate about helping women become more in tune with their bodies and eliminate hormonal imbalances naturally through food, lifestyle habits, mindset, and targeted supplements tailored to each woman.
We believe in the importance of intention, the power of intuition, and the value of prioritizing self-care. And we're here to empower all women.
Before we get started, we want to remind you that we are not your doctor, and the content shared on this podcast is for informational purposes only. Please chat with your doctor before making any changes.
Hey, it's Amanda. Quick question for you. What kind of deodorant do you use? My absolute favorite non-toxic deodorant is the Blue Tansy deodorant from Primally Pure. I gift it to all of my clients, and I've gotten both of my sisters hooked on it. And I hear the same thing from everyone. Oh my gosh, it actually works and doesn't irritate my skin. I've tried at least 15 non-toxic deodorants, and while some of them definitely work better than others, none of them compare to Primally Pure, especially the Blue Tansy one. Not only do they avoid harmful ingredients like aluminum, fragrance, and different hormone disruptors, but it won't irritate your skin and it lasts all day. You can grab your own at primallypure.com and make sure you use the code BBP to get 10% off your first order.
Hey everyone, it's Kim, and with me today I have Kristen Kashak, aka the girl with the butter. Kristen is a certified nutritional therapy practitioner, CrossFit Level 2 coach, WorthFit coach, and Czech holistic lifestyle coach. Kristen's path to nutrition education, fitness, and food blogging started back in 2009 when she started CrossFit. Soon after, she learned about paleo and eventually took the steps to obtaining her numerous certifications and trainings. Her focus was first and foremost nutrition, primarily in the paleo approach. Most of her coaching was done online with distance clients or small groups, and almost exclusively with women who felt like they had tried everything but still weren't feeling the way that they wanted to. It's all evolved since then. At the end of the day, here is what Kristen believes. Health is not a struggle. Your body is not the enemy. Living a life that prioritizes health is not mutually exclusive with living one that you enjoy. And most importantly, dogma of any kind is the killer of a balanced life. Thank you so much, Kristen, for being here.
Hey.
Hey. So excited to talk about all of these things as we were just kind of briefly chatting about. A lot of women in our community, these are things that they struggle with. I know I've been there. I'm sure you've experienced this too.
And yeah.
We all kind of have like a personal reason why we talk about the things that we talk about. So I know we're going to get into a lot of these things today, but before we start, we always like to do a couple icebreakers. So I picked a few that I think are fun for you.
Cool.
So first one is, what's your favorite meal to order at a restaurant?
Oh, at a restaurant?
Mm-hmm. Like, what thing do you get excited about when you see it on the menu?
I will pretty much... I was literally just saying to someone that there's something I always order when I see it on a menu, and now I'm totally blanking on what it is. Let me think about it. But when I go out, I will always order something that I try to go to the things that I won't make at home. So like, I don't like going out for breakfast. Like, my husband always wants to go out for breakfast, and I'm like, I can make eggs at home. Like, I'd rather go get, like, I'll order seafood a lot when I'm out because I don't make a ton of fish at home. What the frick was that?
I feel like you always post oysters.
I do. I get oysters a lot. If there are oysters on a menu, I'll usually get it. I usually get, oh, shakshuka. If there is shakshuka, that is the one, like, and that's more of a brunchy thing. Mm-hmm. If there's shakshuka on a menu, I'll usually get it. And anything with like bone marrow or like an odd cut of meat or something, or like a weird animal that you don't usually see on a menu, then I'll usually gravitate towards that.
Yeah, I tend to trust those more at restaurants, especially. Like, I don't even attempt to make that stuff at home.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to make liver once, and it was absolutely disgusting, and I'll never
But I was on a good pate run for a little bit with like, chicken livers, just because they're super mild, so it's kind of hard to, like, go wrong. But my husband was really into liver for a little bit, so I was making him liver and onions for a while, and he liked it. I do not think I'm very good at making liver and onions.
That's the one thing I tried, but it was beef liver. But you know what? I'm like, you know, I take my liver caps. I'm like, I get my liver that way.
Yep.
And that's okay. All right, cool. Next one. If you could live in any sitcom, which one would it be?
If I could live in any sitcom. I mean, I feel like the obvious thing is, no, you know what? New Girl. I was gonna say that the obvious thing is to say Friends.
Right.
But so Taylor, She Thrives blog. Mm-hmm. Now listen, I love Friends. I've watched the show thousands of times, but I think a lot of the characters are not very good people in the show.
Some are very annoying.
Watching it back, I'm like, Monica's behavior during Phoebe's wedding is insane. She wears all white to Phoebe's rehearsal dinner because she's the wedding planner. Joey starts out as like a predator, but then he kind of evolves into this nice guy. And his two best friends, Chandler and Ross, have both stolen his girlfriend at some point somehow. I'm watching it back. I'm like, they're actually not very good friends to each other. Like, they have moments where they are, like, Ross buys Phoebe a bike, and it's really sweet. They all, like, they show up for each other in these big, like when crises happen. But then, like, Monica's boobs are out when she's singing karaoke. Phoebe doesn't say anything to her and just lets her keep going. Like, there are a lot of times where they're not actually that great in terms of, like, being a friend.
It's true. I honestly never thought of that.
I don't want to get any hate mail. I know. They're fake people. They're not real people, and it's just a show, and I still watch it, and I will watch it today. It's just funny.
I never thought of it that way. For me, that show is just, like, nostalgic, and it's the time. Like, it was before the internet and social media, and, like, that was just, like, pure, yeah. But
New Girl, it's very funny and very well-written and hilarious, but New Girl, I think, for the like, activities and lifestyle that they kind of get into, and I feel like there's more goofiness between them on that show. So if I was going to be involved, I would prefer to be involved in that.
I respect that. All right. Last one. If you had an extra hour of free time every day, how would you use it?
Doing nothing.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of doing nothing. I do not personally subscribe to the whole, like, up before the enemy, be up before the sun, get everything done before 5 a.m. I'm like, why? Like,
if it's gonna get
unless
done.
You have a job that requires you to be there at a certain time, like, and if that, I get it that that works for some people to be, like, super productive. It doesn't for me. So, like, I don't think we need to be productive every hour of every day.
I agree with you. Totally. And I feel like that you recognize that too, because a lot of people don't and feel guilty for doing nothing. I even said it, I was away this weekend and didn't want to come home, obviously. And I was like, we just got a week that's reserved for nothing.
Yeah.
We
just started instituting PTO at my day job mid last year. Which before it was always very kind of, you put up on the Google Calendar and tell your boss when you're going to be away. And if it gets out of hand, they're like, okay, you can't keep taking days off. But now they have PTO. I think it's great because it's forcing people who never took days off to take days off. But it is, like, I've been there 9 years, so I have a good amount every year to take. So, like, there does come a point where you're like, oh, I got to use these. So I took a random Friday off the other week just for no real reason. And then by the time it was Monday, I'm like, why is every work week not a 4-day work week? Like, why do we
need all the time
5 days a week? The majority of our life, like, it could still be the majority of the week working, but it, if you do 4 days, but like, it was such a difference in just having that, like, yeah, that extra day of like, 'cause Friday you're so tired. Saturday is kind of like the actual weekend day. And then Sunday is usually so many errands that you have to get done before the week starts. It's like that extra day made like, I'm like, that's all I'm doing for my PTO next year. I'm just going to take random Fridays off.
I swear to God, I was having this conversation with somebody like 2 days ago, basically saying like, if I had 4 weeks vacation to take every year, I would rather take like a day off every week instead of, you know, maybe like 1 week away, but like, I'd rather use that to take a day off because it is, I'm more productive. I know myself when I like have less time and forces me to get.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Versus like working full 8-hour days and like, you're just making shit up to kind of pass.
That's the whole argument for like companies that, so we, my company works, we do primarily work from home. Like if you don't have to be in the office, there's no reason to be in the office. We have most of our sales reps are out in their cars and then management is typically at home. And there are a lot of companies, I think Gap actually did it for a while. A friend of mine was a product in product development at Gap where you like come in as needed. And then if there's nothing else you need to do actually in the office, you can go home and do whatever you need to do from home. And it's like productivity of employees goes up. Turnover goes down because people are happier. It's more efficient for the company because they're not spending so much money on electric and like all of the equipment. So everybody has everything that they need all the time. But like we're so stuck in this, like people are so scared to not be busy all the time. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then it's like, you're lazy if you're not, but it's like, if you have to be somewhere 8 hours, you're going to dick around for some of it because nobody can work for 8 hours straight. There's not like, unless you're the CEO of a company, you don't have probably, I mean, that's obviously a blanket statement. Like if you're an ER nurse, I'm sure you have 8 hours worth of shit to do. But like most office work, you don't really have 8 hours. So we're like driving ourselves crazy and companies are wasting all this money just to have that 9-to-5 when you could just like let people go home on Friday.
So true. So do
that's my dissertation on the working culture of America.
I've been reading the book Do Less by Kate Northrup, and she goes into that in detail. And there's like a lot of studies in there about different companies and different countries that are implementing like 24-hour work weeks or, you know, certain times of the year where you only have a 4-day work week or something like that. And basically showing like productivity and like the workers' health and happiness and moods improve and yada, yada. I mean, it just makes sense, but
yeah, totally.
Unfortunately, we're stuck in the, you know, rules of the 9-to-5.
Yeah. I'm very thankful that I work somewhere that they're like, they've always been work smarter, not harder. Like as long as your work gets done, we don't really care how you do it or, you know, we're not supposed to be on like social media all day long, but like,
yeah, but
you know, I do appreciate that I work somewhere that they recognize that.
That's awesome. And I'm sure it makes a huge difference for your like health and happiness all
around. Oh yeah. When I started doing my NTP certification and like coaching and stuff, so many people asked me like, so are you gonna, and this is another thing that I have that I take issue with, but that's, I'll parlay into that. Do you have more icebreakers or?
No, this is the last one, so go for it.
Okay. People would always ask me like, oh, so when are you gonna like quit your job and go full time into nutrition? I'm like, well, I'm not. Like, I have no desire to do that. I really like the nutrition stuff. I love coaching over at the gym a few days a week. But I also really like my other job and I like people I work with and I like that environment. And I see all the time on like business blogs or like influencers, or I see it constantly in the CrossFit affiliate owners group, which drives me crazy. Like if you're not a full-time professional coach or a full-time professional, whatever you're doing it wrong and you're half-assing it. And I think that's not true. Like just because it's what works for you and it's what you feel you need to do to be a professional doesn't mean everybody else who's not doing that is falling short. Like personally, I think having something else that my life focuses on for a portion of the day makes me better at the other things because I couldn't coach all day long. I don't have that in me to be able to do that all day. I wouldn't be a very good coach if I was coaching all day long. if I talk, and this is me personally, if I talk to people about nutrition all day long, I would get so tired of it. Like, I could not keep having the same conversations over and over again. So having something else in my life makes me better at the other two things. And I don't think it's fair to say that you have to be all or nothing on everything. I think your life can have layers and different parts of it that make up the sum of what your whole life is. This whole, like, you need to niche yourself down to one thing. Yeah. I think it's because that's not how people are. And if you're that kind of person that you want to dive full into one thing, that's awesome and good for you. But my problem with everything right now is what works for you doesn't work for everybody else. And to say that your way is the only way is, to me, a red flag that you don't know what you're talking about, or that you haven't tried enough things to even, like, have any clue that there are other ways to do literally everything.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I also know, like, being in the nutrition, sphere, like, I know so many people who are doing it in so many different ways. Like, people who have full-time jobs and use it, like, just to teach a class once a week, or people who've gone through the NTP cert just for their own knowledge, and they don't do anything. Yeah. And they like their full-time job, or they like being a stay-at-home mom and not working and not doing anything. And I agree with you. I think it's, like, I have a part-time job that, you know, pays my bills and I enjoy it and allows me flexibility, but I also love working with people, and I don't know how it would be if I was solely working one-on-one with people. I think I would be.
Yeah. It's emotionally draining to work one-on-one with people, even when you really want to do it. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
To do. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, that was a fun tangent. I agree.
For you and for everyone. I think
it also is, like, sometimes it's nice to, you know, I'm very in that I don't love to follow rules. Like, I question everything. I like to do things my own way. But at the same time, sometimes it's nice to have, like, some sort of structure, because full time in my business, and who knows, like, maybe I will take it there. That not having some sort of structure kind of is a struggle for me too. So it's, like, a nice
thing. Yeah.
Like, that works for me. Whatever works for you, works for you.
That actually is something that, so I've been working mostly from home now. I mean, for 9 years. I started at Hunterdon and the beer distributor that I work at in 2010. So yeah, just over 9 years. Started as a sales rep. So you're home or in the car going to accounts. Then I moved into, like, brand management, which was still in the car. And now I'm our project manager, which is mostly from home. I don't have to go see anyone. And one of the things that I've learned over time, and that I tell people when they do start to work from home, is that you have to create boundaries and you have to build structure. Otherwise, you could totally burn out, or you could get nothing done. Like, it can go one of two ways. You could either easily start working as soon as you wake up and work until you go to bed, because there's no, like, punching of the clock, or it's very easy to get distracted by other things, like, oh, my dog is here, I'll just play with him for a while. I got laundry to do, I got to do this, I got to do that. So, like, I started, I will not answer an email for work before 9 a.m. Like, if I happen to get up at, you know, 6:30 or 7, which I generally, unless I have a meeting, I just kind of wake up when I wake up. I will not look at my work phone. I won't open my email until 9. I'll use that time to kind of, like, have coffee and chill and walk the dog. And if I have errands or whatever, or not errands, like, house chores. And then I put my phone away and my email away at, like, 5:30, and won't look at it again until the next day. Cause otherwise you could just keep, and for the most part, like, we have this, like, pressure to get everything done right now because we're so attainable. But it's like, for most businesses, if something's happening at 5:30, there's nothing you can do about it until the next day anyway. Like, yeah, you can send an email, but wherever you're sending it probably isn't going to get it until tomorrow anyway, or be able to do anything about it till tomorrow anyway. So, like, why stress yourself about it? And even just creating a space that is your workspace. Like, I used to just, like, work in our kitchen, work on the couch. And then I was like, okay, I need an office. So I turned our guest room into an office. I'm like, this is where I do my work. And it makes such a big difference in, like, you kind of do have to almost still go to the office, even if you're working from home, just mentally, like, okay, I'm here, I'm doing my work. And then come a certain time, I'm done. Like, even when you work from home, structure, like you said, is really important to kind of keeping yourself on the line of, like, actually doing stuff in a mindful way.
So now that you're kind of going into it, I kind of want to talk a little bit about like your background, because you have an interesting, you know, as you're saying, like you have a day job that is very different from, you know, your nutrition fitness stuff. So yeah. In terms of like your background and like the evolution of what you've been doing, because I know we met, it's been about 5 years, I think, since we went through the program.
Yeah, I think 2014.
Yeah. So Kristen and I went through our NTP cert together. That's actually where we met, and we bonded over our love of butter. And, you know, it's cool, like watching your evolution and what you've been doing. And so can you kind of speak to that in terms of, you know, what you do and how you balance it all, and also like where you've come from this place of like, you know, being a little bit more strict paleo to now like kind of rejecting all of the rules and the dogma that are out there?
Yeah. So when I started getting involved in like, I totally found paleo through CrossFit back in like 2010. I started doing the Whole Life Challenge. And it just changed a lot for me and how I felt like eating that way and learning more about food outside of just calories. Like, oh, this is what fats do, and this is why we need protein, and kind of putting a purpose to food instead of just like, it's either this thing that I want to eat a lot of or this thing that I want to avoid, and all the morality and blah, blah, blah behind it. And then just over time, like as I learned more, as I dipped in and out of, you know, I've messed around with keto, I've messed around with just general low carb, I've counted macros, and I still do sometimes. I kind of found my way to where I am now, which is kind of a more like, people ask me a lot, like, how do you find balance? And I've kind of over time, I don't think balance is real. I think it's kind of like, it's more just accepting that things are going to change and being okay with rolling with the ebb and the flow. So like sometimes I'm eating more paleo than others. Sometimes I'm counting macros for whatever reason. Sometimes I'm not paying attention to any of it and just kind of going with the flow. And like, that's all okay. I think where we feel like we're out of balance, sometimes I'm focusing more on my training, sometimes I'm not. Like, I think being okay with the fact that things are seasonal and cyclical is really where the actual balance happens, and not trying to like white knuckle one thing, which is I think what turned me so against, not against, but turn kind of like pushed me away from labeling our identity by how we eat, which I started to see a lot. Like, cause people ask me all the time, like, are you paleo? I'm like, I'm not a way of eating. Like I may eat that way sometimes, but that's not who I am. And like, we started identifying ourselves by how we choose to eat. Which is crazy. Like it's a part of your life, not who you are as a whole. But then like, so yeah, I used to talk a lot about nutrition, and a lot of my posts were nutrient based. And now I feel like I talk more about like mindset around all of that, or I'm big on word choice, and I just posted something about that today. But at the same time, I've also kind of swung the other way, where I feel like kind of an outside looking in, I feel like the pendulum swung so far away from like dieting and weight loss, which I think is good, but it started to shame people who do want to lose weight and who do want to like try a diet. Like, I had a girl message me the other day. She's like, all these like self-confidence accounts I follow make me feel like I hate myself because I want to lose weight. And she's like, but I'm really uncomfortable. Clothes don't fit. I have to squish into an airplane seat, and they're all telling me that I just don't love myself enough. And I'm like, so how are we making that better by saying like, you're vain and you're sucked into diet culture because you want to lose weight? Like, some people want to lose weight, and that's fine. Some people want to use a diet as a tool to gain weight or lose weight or change their body composition. And that's fine too. And we swung so far the other way, which I do think needed to happen. I think that's what tends to happen, is like you go one way, culture goes the full other way. And then we kind of find somewhere in the middle. But it all, like I was looking at something the other day where a girl was saying, a nutritionist was saying, you know, I got injured and, you know, now I'm going to like go back and like clean up my act and kind of bring in some healthier habits. Like, I'm not going on a diet. And I'm like, but if you are, that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Using that as a tool, don't live like that forever and bounce from one to another. But like, so now I kind of came from like I've written things about, you know, diet culture and I do think that's problematic, but now I've kind of swung away from trying to like push everyone into my box of what I think is how to approach things and kind of being more letting everybody, like, this is my advice and what I've found to work. But if you have a goal that's different from mine, then that's okay too.
Right.
That's something that actually I was a group leader in the Boston NTP class. And as I'm talking about this, like I have to rant about that too. So one of the guys asked, like, so if a client comes to me, and this is just a really important, I think, so part of like what I've been talking about a lot and what I want to talk about going forward is shame of any kind isn't helpful. So like shaming someone, I just watched something yesterday where someone who was very, very big on the self-confidence and not, you know, attaching your worth to your body, was telling people, like, if someone's posting, you know, pictures of their six pack in the gym, then they're just very insecure and looking for attention and you should unfollow them. And it's like, how is that better than than seeing someone who's, you know, say overweight, posting pictures of themselves in a bikini and people sitting back and saying, oh, she's just lazy. And oh, she's just looking for attention. She just wants people to tell her how brave she is. Like, how is that any different? So in our effort to try and push this body neutrality thing, which I think is really important, we're then deflecting that shame onto somebody else. And like, we can't on one hand say we're not going to judge this group and then turn around and say we're going to judge them instead. That's where I think like part of the problem is happening. But what this one guy said is like, what if a client comes to me and says they want to lose 10 pounds, but I don't think they need to lose 10 pounds. How do I tell them that their goal is wrong? And I'm like, you don't tell them their goal is wrong. A, you're going to make them feel embarrassed and they're not going to be honest with you going forward. So you're not going to be able to help them. And B, there's a way to provide someone with what you think they need while also giving them what they want. So like, because if I come to you and regardless of why I'm focused on it, all I want to do is lose 10 pounds. And you tell me you don't need to lose 10 pounds. You need to work on your gut health. I'm going to be like, that's great. I don't care about gut health. That's not why I came to you. And I'm going to either go to somebody else or I'm going to continue to work with you. And then when I don't get what I'm looking to get and you're not giving me information about why we're doing certain things, I'm going to say that you're ineffectual as a coach. So it's like, we have to respect people's goals while still providing what we think is best for them. And I think part of what's happening in like social media is we're telling people what goals they should have. And I think we work on where that comes from. It's like, I saw, actually, it was a Gary Vee thing. We're trying to fix the sink instead of the well. Like, we're trying to say, change your goal because that's a wrong goal instead of like, well, what are you attaching to that goal? Are you attaching your value? Are you attaching your worthiness? Are you attached? Do you think you're going to be happy when you hit that goal? Or is it just a standalone thing? Like, we're trying to work on the sink instead of the well. And it's like, that's not gonna, maybe that sink just wants to look that way. Who cares?
And I do think that like, there's an important piece here of like just awareness of yourself and awareness of why you have that goal. That's important. You know, I get women all the time, like, I want to lose 15 pounds. And you know, when we really get down to it, it's like, that's not really the goal. Although that's what she equates to, like feeling more energetic and feeling, you know, more confident, or, you know, not having sugar cravings. Like, but then again, if you're just like, cool, I want to work on my health, but like, I also am uncomfortable in this body and you know, I want to lose weight, then that's fine. As long as there's like that piece of awareness to it, I think is so important, just having that knowledge of like why you want to do that thing and, you know, some sort of way, especially when you're working with someone, like to do it in a way that's healthy and not do it in a way that's like,
yeah,
restrictive or, you know, drives you into a hole.
Yeah, for sure. And what you just said is so true. Like it all, pretty much every goal that we all have, it all comes down to a feeling. It doesn't, it's not the action. It's like, I want to feel. One of the best examples I ever heard was someone saying, I want to lose weight because I want to be able to run around with my kids. And it's like, okay. And then you keep asking why, and it comes down to truly all it is I want to feel connection with my kids, mm-hmm. which you can, okay. So have a game night, go to the movies, do something to get that feeling now while we work on the health stuff. But then we can remove the association of that feeling with the physical body stuff.
Right.
Like you can get the feeling, and then maybe that need to, you know, change your body. Maybe it changes, maybe it goes away. Who knows? If it doesn't, that's fine. But you can get that feeling now. Like that's part of why I think people love CrossFit so much, is because like a lot of times people want to feel powerful or athletic or capable. And I think that the nature of lifting weights quickly and learning new skills all the time, like makes you feel that way, regardless of what's happening to, you know, your physical appearance.
Yeah,
like, and I get those feelings.
I feel like that's one of the things I've always loved about CrossFit. And I feel like it's also different, you know, depending on the gym culture. But I just remember, like, you know, at least I learned a lot when I was in CrossFit about like the way I view my body and other people's bodies. Like, that chick is hella strong and she's like blowing through a workout and that's freaking awesome. But like, I'm not looking at like, wow, look at her muscles. Like it's a little, a lot more of like a focus on like what you can do versus like how you look. And
yeah,
that is something that especially women like love about CrossFit. But then again, it can go the other way. Like I even know myself, like I have a tendency to, like if I get lean, I get lean. I don't put muscle on. And I even knew myself, like in CrossFit, I feel like, you know, am I less than because I don't have, you know, insanely cut biceps and like mm-hmm. huge quads? Like there's, like you were saying, like it's kind of a shame. It can go either way, which is really interesting. It's like,
yeah,
how's that helpful in either way?
Yeah. And I like, I've been thinking a lot lately about like, I think we tend to point fingers on all the things that like make us feel a certain way when that's not really like, what's that quote? No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Like I even try to, when I'm talking about things, like say I'm having a conversation with my husband and I'm not perfect about it, but I do actively, like I try to be conscious of it. Like when you do this, it makes me feel this. Like, no, it doesn't make me feel that. I feel this way when you do this. Like I tell this to myself when you do this, like magazines make me feel this, that girl not wearing her shirt makes me feel this. Like, no, it's something that's within ourselves that is more difficult work to do and more uncomfortable questions to ask. Like why, someone I know was talking about, her like cousin who's a mom who was wearing a crop top out to a bar, and she was like, I don't know who she thinks she is that she can wear that, like she's a mom, she doesn't have the body for it. I'm like, well, why do you care what she wears? Like it doesn't affect you. She's like, well, yeah, but like she doesn't have the body to wear that. And like as you keep talking, you realize like, okay, what this actually is you don't feel comfortable wearing that, but you feel that you should be more comfortable wearing that than she is. And if she's wearing it, it feels like an attack on you. Like, well, if I don't feel confident enough to wear that, she shouldn't feel confident enough to wear that. And it's all internal. It's all internal.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Everything that we project on other people, it's so crazy. Like the more, like even people who really drive me nuts, the more I ask myself questions like, okay, why is this person doing that? Driving me so crazy. it always comes down to either something I feel like I'm lacking, something I'm insecure about, something that I feel like I haven't been putting enough work into, regardless of what it is, whether it's like social media or business or work or the gym or anything. Like anytime I feel a twinge of like jealousy or resentment or anger or annoyance, it most of the time comes down to something that I'm feeling I'm not getting either myself or enough out of. So like one of my big pet peeves or qualms that I have is like this whole, I've seen a couple things about like how you were talking about how like going to CrossFit changed your perception of like your body. I fully agree with that. I think to myself all the time, like after a workout, when my stomach is sticking out because I've been breathing hard and I'm jumping around and everything's jiggling, it is the least in my life that I give a shit what my body looks like. Mm-hmm. I do not care. I don't think anybody's looking at me and judging me. And I've had so many women at our gym tell me that the moment that they, of all different body types, all different ages, say that the first time they worked out in their sports bra or wore booty shorts and had that moment of realization that nobody gives a shit was like so freeing, because that's why we're self-conscious in things. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with what we think other people think of us. And we've decided that that's important. Like if a stranger walks by me on the beach and thinks that I don't look good in my bikini, what the fuck do I care? I'm sorry. This is not a swearing podcast.
No, it's good. It's all good.
Sorry. But it's so crazy that we're like, so for me with taking selfies, I'm so paranoid about taking selfies because I don't want someone to walk by me and think that I'm full of myself. Right. But like, why do I care if some stranger thinks that I'm full of myself that I'm never going to see again? It's that episode of Friends with the running. Phoebe's like, who cares? You're there. You're gone in a second. Like we're so wrapped up in what we think other people think. That doesn't, and if they think something negative about you, it's their own problem because they have an issue with themselves. So like almost having kind of compassion for that instead of like being so wrapped up and concerned in it. And so they'll tell me like, it was such a freeing moment to realize no one cares. So then when I see things like we've instituted a rule where you're not allowed to work off with your, you know, just a sports bra because it makes other people uncomfortable, I'm like, how is that fair? To say, like, I do understand where that can come from, but I don't think it's fair to tell somebody, you can't feel how you want to feel because this person is uncomfortable looking at your stomach because it makes them feel weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that that's the answer to that. Because then I also think it's now putting, and you never know what someone's story is, right? Like, maybe that girl working out in her sports bra, maybe that's a huge confidence thing for her because she was so scared to be in a bikini her whole life. And now you're telling her she should be embarrassed about it because she's making other people feel bad. So like, again, it's that transference of shame. Like we don't want you to feel embarrassed. So we're going to make them feel embarrassed instead of just kind of us all asking the questions of ourselves. Like, why do I feel that way when I'm exposed to this? And how can I do that work for myself, which is harder. It's way harder.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Nobody wants the hard shit. They just want to feel like uncomfortable and like, you know, make it about themselves. What I always found interesting was that there was like a male female, like a total difference. Like we would be in the CrossFit gym and guys, every guy would have their shirt off, body types from, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
Who cares? If,
mm-hmm.
That same thing happened with women. There's comments whether she's like the fittest person in the gym with like,
well, that abs fittest person in the gym. She's a slut looking for attention. Unfit person in the gym. Who does she think she is that she can wear that? There's no winning.
Yeah, but for men, it never came up, no. And that's what's really really interesting is like, you know, obviously there's a lot more to, I think, to unfold when it comes to women and bodies, but it's like, why is that so much more?
So different? So a friend of mine, it's really funny. My friend got married a couple weeks ago. And while we were putting our dresses on, we started having a conversation about like bra straps, how it's like, you're not supposed to be able to see a bra strap because that's considered inappropriate, but you are supposed to wear a bra because if you're not wearing a bra and we can tell you're not wearing a bra, that's inappropriate. So we want you to definitely look like you're wearing a bra, but we don't want to see any part of that bra. So you need to kind of give the illusion that you're not wearing a bra, but clearly be wearing a bra. Like, it makes no sense at all. And so I've been really thinking about that. Like, I've been ruminating on that for like weeks of like trying to unpack it and what are the implications. And then a friend of mine last week posted something about how she at work gave a presentation in a sleeveless dress. And a female colleague of hers, a peer, not a boss, said that she was, you know, it was really unprofessional for her to wear a sleeveless shirt.
Show her arms.
So that sent me down that whole rabbit hole of thought of like, why is that? And one of the things that, and a guy commented and said like, you know, I've never, to be fair, I've never seen a man in a sleeveless shirt at work either. So he's like, because that like for a guy to be in like a wife beater at work would be unprofessional. So one of the things that I started thinking is like, well, A, I've never seen a non very casual male sleeveless shirt that you could even wear in that scenario. But one of the things that I really noticed, and this totally goes with what you were saying about CrossFit, is men and clothing tends to be associated with professionalism or not. So like cleaned up together, like a professional thing. Whereas with women, it tends to break down to morality and character and virtue and doesn't really have to do with professionalism. And there's a lot of internalized like misogyny that comes with it, especially amongst other women, where it's like, okay, a woman wears a tight dress to work or goes to the gym in short shorts and a sports bra. She must be looking for attention from men, trying to show off her body, which that's a whole other thing of why is that bad? Trying to show off your body, like be proud of it, but not that proud of it. Like still be a little ashamed of it. Women, it always comes down to like some ulterior motive, where with men, it's just professionalism. And I think that that kind of folds into this, like women are either always being looked at sexually or always projecting something based in sexuality, which there's nothing wrong with like embracing that side of, you know, that's just part of being human, but that's the only lens that we see that through. So if a woman wears, and I see it in comments all the time, a woman wears booty shorts and a sports bra to work out, she must just be looking for all the guys to be looking at her. And I don't want my husband at a gym when there's a girl in a sports bra that he can just look at. Whereas with men, nobody's saying that like, oh, he just wants all the women. Like, I mean, they may be saying that, but it's not in the same like vitriol, like assassination of character kind of way. So like when it comes to bodies, we seem to have associated like men with just normalcy or even humor, and women with character and virtue, and like virtue equals value, or virtue equals you're a good person, or modesty equals you're a good person. Like it's very warped. And so like I said, I've been like turning over this in my head for like weeks. There's so much to it.
No, there totally is. And it's like, yeah, clothing choice is it can be so complex. At the end of the day, it could just be like, I like that shirt, or I'm comfortable in this outfit, or whatever the hell the case might be.
If you feel really good and really sexy in something, why is it wrong to want to wear that? Like even with gym clothes, I 100% will admit that when I feel good about myself and what I'm wearing at the gym, I do better.
That's true.
Than when I'm feeling uncomfortable or like pulling at things, or like if I've got like new shoes and a sports bra I really like that I just got and like my hair's done, I feel like, yeah, all right, let's do, like, if you feel good, you perform well. Like, people make fun of Annie Thor's daughter for wearing earrings when she goes to the gym. Like, who gives a shit? If it makes her feel a little bit better, let her do it. What do you care?
Not affecting you. If it's not affecting you, then who the hell cares?
It is crazy what we, like, wrap ourselves up in, like, what we care about, and just trying to, like, we attach morality to so many crazy things. Like, I cannot... I have a little bit of a problem where sometimes I struggle to continue listening to what people are saying when they've used words that I find issue with. It's like when people talk about food and they start using good, bad, clean, dirty. I have to remind myself, like, listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And don't just jump in and correct their word choice. But I think that matters so much. Like when we say things like, you know, I want to eat clean, or I was so good this week, I was so bad this weekend. It adds this whole other level of morality to food that is completely problematic with then, like, people talk about the relationship with food. And I almost feel like alongside the relationship with your body, like, I'm really just going down that line of like neutral, like everything is neutral. Like, I don't think everybody needs to love their body. Personally, I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and like is like, I fucking love every— I'm sorry, I keep swearing. I'm just getting
okay.
I love everything about this today. Like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. My kneecap is the best kneecap in the world. Like, I think it's more like, because again, that's another thing that it's like, if you wake up one morning and don't feel great about yourself, you're failing. You don't love yourself enough. You've become victim of diet and magazine culture. Whereas for me, it's more like I notice it about myself because I used to like feel so bad about myself if my, like, my stomach was squishy, or if I saw cellulite, or if I was like sitting on the beach and had a roll. Like, it ruined my day and just made me feel awful about myself as a person. Now it's more like that's just there, and that's what I look like and whatever. And like, this is my body, and if I want to change it, I'll change it, but it's not going to impact my life. Like, I'm not going to be more successful or happier. My marriage isn't going to be better. My friends aren't going to like me more or less. Like, that's where that separation happens. I don't wake up every day and like rub oil on myself and like talk to myself in the mirror about how amazing I am, but like, it's just like neutral.
Right.
And food too, like beating yourself up because you had a cookie versus patting yourself on the back because you had a salad, as opposed to just like, or the superiority that comes from like eating a certain way, which is another thing that at the NTP course, I had to like raise my hand and I don't want to say scold the room, but like, have you done any group leading since we graduated?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if you've noticed it, but I definitely have. And I think we were probably the same way when we were in class. Like, it's the novice dilemma where you're new to something and you think that that thing is like the way.
Yeah,
and there is this level of like elitism in that room of, and Meredith, and you know, like we were talking about it, and it's just kind of the evolution of it, I think, where like all these people eating artificial colorings, like, what if they don't even know what they're doing? And at one point the instructor put up a real client's food journal. And one of the things at the end of the day, he had like a burger, fries, and a cider, and the whole room started laughing. And I was like, I can't. So I had to, I raised my hand. I'm like, you're not better than this person because he ate a burger and a cider and you had a grass-fed steak with baked yuca, like, and a side of sauerkraut. And this person, it will be impossible for you to help him if that judgment registers on your face when he gives you his food journal.
Yeah.
Like, this whole we're better because we eat this way is, and it goes both ways. Like, people in paleo or who eat gluten-free or vegetarian too. And I'll raise my hand as someone who's guilty for having made fun of like vegan, vegetarian, like, get all mad when people think they're better because they put like a I eat gluten sticker on their car and make fun of people who eat gluten-free and like kind of put themselves on that, like, these silly people who eat gluten-free. But then we can't turn around and do the same thing because someone got a juice with red number 5 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no superiority of character due to the food that you eat. And it just makes it impossible to like help anybody if that's what you're trying to do, if that's the attitude that you have. And one of the things that Meredith said after was like, she's like, yeah, I actually didn't tell him to stop eating that because he told me verbatim, that is the joy of my day. I hate my job, and then I come home and I have a burger and a cider, and that's the happiest part of my day. So you're going to tell this person, you're going to laugh at them, And then you're going to tell them they have to stop the thing because it's so awful. Like, how is that helpful? And it's just continuing to attach this morality to food that doesn't do anyone any good.
And exactly. And like, there's no morality around it, but also context matters a lot. Like, I've had female clients who have struggled with disordered eating. Like, I have a couple female clients actually who have children and they've struggled with disordered eating themselves. So when I see like cake on their food journal, it's like, cool. Like, where were you? Why'd you have this cake? Well, oh, it was my kid's birthday. And they asked like, mommy, why aren't you having cake? Like, there are all of these different nuances to all of these things. And you don't know, like, that guy, that could have been, you know, especially if you're getting 3 days of someone's food journal, that burger and fries and a cider could have been like him going out with his friends for the only time that week. And he wanted to have fun and enjoy himself. And there's context around everything. I'd rather see a person eat cake or pizza or whatever the hell they want and like enjoy it. Like he said, like, that's joy for me. Than like someone to eat that and feel bad about themselves for eating it, or someone to avoid that food and then feel like they've been restricted or deprived and they can't enjoy themselves.
Yeah. Context is so important. And I think that that's where we kind of miss the mark a little bit, and I'm totally guilty of it, but kind of on a little bit of like a sidebar to it, the whole like Instagram is a highlight reel. I'm so tired of having that conversation. Like, yes, can we, and we're all adults at this point, and we know that people are posting the best stuff of their day. Like, I was thinking about it this morning, like, if you think back to like Polaroid or regular Kodak cameras, it was still a highlight reel. People were still just taking pictures of the fun stuff to show you. No one was taking a picture of like a mess in their kitchen because the ceiling fell or something. Like, everything, when you go out to dinner and you do your hair and put on makeup, you're putting your highlight reel forward for the world. Like, yes, Instagram is a highlight reel and social media is a highlight reel, and I don't necessarily think it needs to not be. I think, like, again, that's that level of responsibility, right? Like, if you're unable to recognize that that person posting pictures on their vacation in Capri isn't on vacation in Capri every day of the year, and they also probably have bills to pay and they fight with their spouse and their kids are driving them crazy, that's not that person's job to make sure that you know that. Like, it's just pictures and captions, and we can kind of curate what we want to see. But when it comes to like, there is also the side of like, so for me, and like I said, I'm guilty of it. I post pictures of, you know, macarons that I make, or a fun meal that I had, or a place that I went out to dinner that I thought was really good. And that's mostly what I post, because that's, to me, more interesting. It's more visually appealing than the like fried eggs and toast that I had for breakfast this morning, like, or the salad that I got when I was out with, you know, a side of grilled chicken, or the water that I drank, you know, earlier. So we do tend to, especially like the food blogger sphere, we tend to post the more fun stuff. And then I've definitely gotten a few messages that are like, how do you eat all these baked goods and like stay in such good shape? And it's like, well, because of the context, because it's one thing of everything else. Like, I just had this huge like weekend with Taylor and my sister, where we like bounced around all these restaurants. We had a bunch of drinks, and we call it a tour of snacks, and it was very fun. But that's not every weekend, and it's not happening all the time. Most weekends are more boring. Most meals are more boring and like basic and simple. But it's also not like that cheat meal ideal where I eat really, really good so I can blow it out this weekend. It's just, we get so caught in the vacuum of like what this food blogger is doing now must be what they do all the time. Like, no, it's part of a huge context of like everything else that happens over days and months and years that brings people to this certain point. And that's kind of like, I do think that things like a strict paleo approach for a little while, or an AIP approach, or counting macros, and all of these things are really, really helpful tools in finding what works best for you long term. Like the intuitive eating thing is really big right now, but I don't know that someone can intuitively eat if they don't have information first. Exactly. Like, I couldn't intuitively eat 9 years ago. I wouldn't know what to even be looking for. I wouldn't know what, you know, like, now I know when I feel a certain way, like, oh, I probably need some salt because I I know what sodium does, and I've learned that. I know that when, so I've been doing this, my husband and I have been doing this like intentional movement every day thing, and he's been going like 100 and some odd days. I'm on like 80. And one of the things, and this is where, again, like counting macros can be helpful. Yes, it can be harmful for some people, but it can also be helpful, is that I was really tired after like the first month. And it wasn't like we were going hard CrossFit every day. Some days we're just like literally sitting on an air bike pedaling 40 RPMs for, I don't know, 40 minutes, like barely sweating, just moving, intentionally moving every day. I was feeling so, so, so tired. I wasn't tracking any food. I wasn't doing any macros. I was just eating normally. But what I didn't account for, even as someone who knows about nutrition, was my BMR, having that little bit of extra movement every day, went up. So my output with that little bit every day over the course of a month went up, and I needed to be eating more. Like, I needed to pay more attention to how much protein I was eating. I needed to be paying attention to how much fat I was eating, because my activity basically doubled, even though it wasn't super intense. And that, like, that's the intuitive eating portion, is I recognize now that I'm tired because I'm not eating enough of these things, because I know enough to know, like, I know how I feel when I'm eating adequate protein, and I know that's not this way. So like, but had I not had that education or experimented with the other things, I wouldn't know that. So I think that there's this thing with intuitive eating that's happening, where we're kind of telling people who don't have any of that baseline to be like, your body knows what it needs.
Yeah, just eat whatever you want.
Does it though?
Exactly. And that's my hang up. Like, I love certain aspects of intuitive eating. I'm not like, I don't love to see people following a diet for the rest of their life. Like, that's not the point. But that's part of my hang up with intuitive eating, is like, how do you tell someone like, eat whatever you want, if that person is used to eating like a lot of sugar and carbohydrate and that's all they want?
Yeah.
So, you know, without getting that, and like without learning that, like, if you don't do something like strict paleo or an elimination diet or check your macros and figure out what your body needs, how do you know how to make change with your diet and make those proper choices without having that like awareness? It just doesn't, it doesn't work. And I get a lot of women who come from like a very strict dieting background, and they see, you know, the things that I talk about, like, cool, like, I want to learn how to eat intuitively. And then I tell them like, all right, well, we're going to go 30 days without gluten and dairy. And they're like, well, isn't that the opposite? And like, no, because you've never done that, so you don't know how those foods are affecting you. Let's start there. Let's prioritize.
You might go back to them. Like,
exactly.
Just seeing, they're common problems for people. We're just seeing if it is for you.
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's not.
Yeah. And let's see how you feel with eating protein, fat, and carbs at breakfast instead of having like your plain toast or your oatmeal, the oatmeal with berries and no protein in it. Like, let's try this. It's not a diet. It's just making specific changes so that you can get context and balancing things out. And then that's going to inevitably help you eat intuitively. Because if you...
And do you... So I used to see a lot when I was running my groups, like, I would say 70% of the women had no hunger cues. They were never hungry. And they were drastically under eating.
Yes.
So their body adapts, because eventually it stops sending signals that it's hungry, because it's like, well, you're not going to feed me, so I'm not going to do that. Or on the flip side, that, remember that whole like, never be hungry, because once you're hungry, you're in starvation mode, like kind of getting rid of hunger cues because we decided they were bad and you should never feel like feeling hungry. Someone I know posted like, you should never feel thirsty. If you feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated and it's too late. It's like, or it's just your body saying, hey, I could use some water right now. Like, these cues are important and we need to learn how to listen to them. So if you've got someone who either doesn't know what feeling hungry feels like or panics every time they feel hungry, because like, that's another thing. People are like, I'm starving. I'm like, are you? You're dying of malnutrition. You're starving. Like, you're standing in the mall at the Apple store. You're not starving. You're a little hungry. Like, it's fine. It's okay to be hungry for a minute before you eat, or never feeling hungry because they've underate for so long. So telling someone like that to just eat intuitively without giving them, reigniting those hunger cues or giving them that, like, starting to feel what their body feels like, how is that going to be get any different result than what's already happening. So like, I think that's really important for people who are looking down that aspect of like, is this person who's telling me to intuitively eat also giving me tools to figure out what I need and what works best for me before I kind of get into that, to that avenue.
Right.
And is there like a big red flag for me is, are they saying everything else is BS? Like if somebody is saying this is my way and every other way is wrong, that to me is a huge red flag to like, there's too much ego. There's too much, you know, heels dug in on one thing that, you know, everybody's so different that what, just because, you know, and I've definitely been guilty of it. Like, I remember you and I having conversations, reading a book about like how someone should eat 150 grams of carbs. And it was when we were in a very like paleo, lower carb, carbs are the problem. Like, how can they be advising that somebody eats that many carbs? That's insane. Meanwhile, now here I am and I'll eat like 180 in a day when I'm like,
exactly. And like learning that that worked for you, but eating 100 grams of carbs does work for some people.
Yeah.
That's again, like another thing with some intuitive eating and some of that like anti-diet culture is like paleo is bad, keto is bad. That's not the case. I think that there's context that works for some people. And especially like in the realm of women that I work with, like, what is your goal? A lot of women are coming to me because their goal is to fix their hormones. So no, I'm probably not going to recommend keto and I'm probably not going to recommend vegan, but there's always gray areas with any of those things. Cool. You don't like to eat meat. Like let's supplement. Or like you feel better without eating a lot of carbs. Let's see if we can adjust your fat or maybe, you know, adjust something else in your life, your sleep. Like let's go outside of the realm of nutrition. Like there's so many other things that matter. So saying any one approach is bad or you're bad because you follow it or you're bad because that works for you is insane.
Yeah. And it's painting everything with a broad stroke of like the thing that worked for me will work for everyone. And the thing that didn't work for me will work for no one. And because I had this bad experience with keto, it means everybody is eventually going to have that bad experience with keto. And it's like, some people thrive. Some people do great. They feel great. They like, and everybody's background is so different. So like Jill Coleman just posted something about how someone said to her, cause she does like 20 to 30 minutes a day of training. Right. And they said, well, yeah, you do that now, but you didn't always do that. She's like, well, yeah, that's true. But my body now is a culmination of 25 years of all different kinds of things. So like people ask me about like, oh, how do you eat? And I'm like, well, it's a culmination of 10 years of learning new things and trying new things. And I think, if someone's going to tell you something is, you know, wrong and too like unachievable and unattainable and restrictive, I'm kind of like, well, have you ever done it? Because then if you don't, like, I hear this with macros all the time, because that is like, I do work with macros quite a bit with people. Mostly because most of the people I work with under eat and they need, they need goals to like, and especially protein. And I do it myself. Like if I'm not paying attention to how much protein I'm eating, I will under eat protein. Like if I'm not consciously making a choice of like, okay, I need to make sure I have like, because what I'll want to do is I'll want to eat all super fatty meats that calorically are high and I'm getting enough calories in, but it's mostly fat. And then my protein is at like 40 for the day. And I'm like, oh, I need like three times that. have you ever tried that? And is it actually restrictive, or did you read a blog post about how restrictive it was and now you've made that decision for everyone? Mm-hmm. Like there's so much wiggle room in this world that there's something for everybody to try. And if it doesn't, you know, if you do it for a while and you don't feel the way you want to feel, then try something else. Like,
exactly. People ask me questions like, should I do this? Should I do that? Is this good? Is this bad? The answer is always going to be like, it depends.
It depends.
So many different things. And people get frustrated with that. Like I even have people that message me, I mean, like ridiculous questions about like their, you know, I had a woman recently, like my husband and I have been trying to get pregnant for 3 years and this, and this is happening. Like, do you think I'm under eating? And I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't answer that question at all. Like, it totally depends. How active are you? What are you eating? You know, like, are you stressed? Are you sleeping? Like, there's a billion different things to consider.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, I even know myself, like, what's working for me now, obviously, like, is very, very different than what worked for me a year ago. And, you know, paleo worked really well for me. Low carb worked really well for me. And I think people also struggle with that, especially, you know, women. And I get it a lot with women who are aging or women who are now, like, doing, like, CrossFit or Orange Theory, going back to what worked for them in the past. Well, I always lost weight when I did Weight Watchers, or like, paleo always worked for me. Now all of a sudden it doesn't. And there's also, and it depends within you, like, whatever worked for you last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago in high school, whatever, is probably not going to work for you now. And I think we have to be open-minded to that too. Like,
we don't want to let go of the thing that worked. Like,
right. There's like comfort in that.
So, air quotes. Like, we want to keep, that was that way. But we don't think about all the other stuff, like you said, that surrounded that. Like, well, what else was going on in your life at that time? And I liked what you said, like, about that message, like, how's your sleep and how's this and how's all these other things that. So my sister is a personal trainer in Boston, and she came with me to Portland, Maine. I had a thing with the brewery Allagash, and one of the events was like a boat ride around the bay, and there were beers on it and wine and stuff. And so we were having a conversation about, like, we get so wrapped up in health and fitness only being how you train and how you eat. Mm-hmm. But what about, like, so what we were saying, I'm like, my health is being improved so much more right now, being on this boat in this beautiful weather, having fun with you, spending time, even though I'm drinking this beer, then my health would be improved by not having come and sitting at home and having a salad with sauerkraut and a kombucha. Mm-hmm. Like, that experience and connection and joy and doing nothing and relaxing and all of these other things that make up a full life, like, we just brush to the side as problems. We say those are problems in my health and nutrition because it exposes me to all these things that my box of foods I can eat doesn't allow for. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like, we're not seeing the forest for the trees, I think, sometimes with all of that stuff. One of the things that comes up all the time with, like, drinking is just a good example. People who drink in moderation tend to live longer than, I think it was like a PaleoFX talk that Mark Sisson gave where he brought this up, tend to live longer than people who don't. In moderation, not like, mm-hmm. That means like one or two, a couple times a week. But so they just associate the drinking with that. But what they're not really also explaining is people who drink in moderation also tend to have more personal connections. They tend to be more social. They also tend to be more physically active. They tend to spend more money on food and grocery shopping than the two other extremes, people who don't drink at all. And I know there's a lot of reasons to not drink. Like, people have many, many reasons. This is just one, you know, thing. And people who binge drink. So those moderation of people, like, what is it actually then? Is it the drinking or is it all these other things? And the same is true for, like, when we look at all those studies that come out that say people who eat meat die more frequently than those who don't. Vegetarians and vegans tend to be much more health focused than their meat eating counterparts. They tend to spend more time outdoors. They tend to spend more time with animals. They tend to spend more time doing yoga and running and all of these other things. And they eat more vegetables than people who don't. So there's all these other factors that surround a whole lifestyle. It's not just the food. And we get so wrapped up in the food and wanting to, like, find that superfood or find that evil food that we ignore, like, well, what are all the other things that are adding to this? Because I would argue that health and happiness and well-being are so much more tied to everything else in your life. And, like, Are you spending time with family and friends? Are you doing things that you enjoy? Are you taking time for yourself to relax? Are you setting boundaries and not letting yourself be completely taken advantage of? You know, are you finding a workout regimen that you enjoy and you have fun with? Are you spending a Sunday just like walking around outside and going to the beach and being by the water? Or is your whole life focused on, am I paleo? Am I not? I need to go to the gym. I need to rest to go to the gym. Then I got to get up to go to the gym and I got to make sure my body fat is this and I got to lose it. Like, if that's all that we're looking at, we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater and like missing all of these other things. And that's kind of like where I'm at now with everything, is like really taking responsibility for the words you choose, really taking responsibility for the way that you approach the world and the things that you talk about. Like, if you're talking about what someone else is wearing or what someone else is eating, like, that's a problem that you need to address within yourself. Like, why do you feel that way? And like the keep your eyes on your own plate and all of that, I think is just like, that's really where I'm kind of digging my heels in at this point of like, that's what I want to talk about. I cannot talk about, is this paleo or not anymore? I cannot talk about, should you eat dairy or not? Like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I do not care.
I 100% agree. And I think I, you know, again, going through the NTP program, like my sole focus was nutrition for my own life. I've talked about it even on here recently, like my own life, it was the nutrition in the gym. Why am I always tired? Why are my periods terrible? Why is my gut always fucked up? Why do I feel like I'm missing something? And then turn that around to, cool, I maybe don't need to be in the gym 6 days a week, and I can like go out and I can enjoy and I can eat some gluten and I'm not going to die and I can stay, you know, like, and we're always so caught up in like what's bad and good. Even this past weekend, I'm a person who thrives on 8 hours of sleep. Like, I need it.
Same.
And then I get in this mentality, if I don't get that sleep, it's bad and I'm unhealthy. But you know what? Wow. I sacrifice sleep to stay up late. I sacrifice sleep to get up early to go watch sunrise on the beach, which, like, you know, and for me that brought more joy than getting a couple extra hours of sleep. So there's, again, there's so much gray area with all of these things, but you're right. It's like, why are we only focused on the nutrition and the fitness? Why are we not focused on like what's making us actually a healthy, happy, well-rounded, functioning human being?
Yeah. And those matter. Nutrition matters. What you eat matters. Like, what you're putting in your body absolutely matters. Whether or not you exercise is super important. Like, I constantly think about, like, if I'm driving up the street and I see an older person going across and they can barely move, I think to myself, like, I'm going to do everything in my power to not let that be me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay active as long as I can, as much as I can. And I feel mentally better when I'm constantly moving. I feel emotionally better when I'm constantly moving. That's all really important, but it's not the sun.
Exactly. And it's different for each person. Again, like, if somebody comes to me and they have, again, more clients than I can even say, somebody comes to me and their diet looks really, really great, but they're like symptoms, or they can't lose weight or something like that. That person, okay, even though I'm a nutritional therapist, like, we're not really going to focus on food. We might focus on like mindset around food, but we're probably going to focus on, maybe you need some stress management. Maybe you need to actually like enjoy a glass of wine, versus somebody who comes to me and their diet is like all over the place and they don't know what to eat. Yeah. That person's focus might be nutrition for a little while, but
yeah,
it's going to depend on the situation. It's going to depend on the goal. It's going to depend on the season of life.
Call this episode, It Depends.
It depends. The answer that everyone hates, but
real, because we love black and white. We like binary.
Exactly.
Like, we want a yes or no. If I ask you, should I do this? I want you to tell me yes or no. I don't want to have to figure it out. I don't want there to be gray area, which everything is gray area.
Right? Yeah.
And on any given day, like.
Exactly. 100%. And yeah, gray area is scary for people, I think. And that's why there are people out there that can help you figure it out. And some people are probably gonna get to this episode and be like, okay, so what the hell am I supposed to do? There's a lot of resources out there. It just depends, like, again, on what you wanna do, what makes you feel good, what your specific goal is, and again, like, what season of life.
Yeah. Well, that's where I do think, like, working with, like, people will message me and I'm like, and ask me like, hey, where should I start? What should I do? I am a bit, not because I refer people out all the time, just because coaching is not my primary thing right now. And I don't like doing it if I don't feel like I can put the time and energy into it that's needed. So I'll randomly like be like, hey, I'm taking on 5 clients, and then I won't do it again for like months. But I think that there's this weird thing that we've done where we think if we can Google it, a coach isn't valuable. Like, cause everyone's like, well, why would I hire someone? I can just do that myself. It's like, okay, but have you done it yourself? Like, no, there's so much value in hiring a professional to help you along, even if it's just starting, like figuring out where to start. There's so many nutrition coaches out there that you can kind of bounce around. And thanks to social media, one of the things that I think is great about it is that it lets you kind of get a vibe for somebody before you approach them. So like any client that's ever worked with me is not shocked when I swear in an email, because or is not shocked that I'm going to tell them it depends, because that's almost all I talk about. Like I swear in a lot of my posts, I'm constantly talking about the gray area. So they're not expecting binary yes or no when they come to me, because social media allows you to get to know somebody before you try. So you can bounce around to these people, find someone who you feel like fits your personality, or even like is doing work in an area that. So anytime I've ever had someone ask me about like hormone balance or pregnancy, I'm like, you should go check out my friend Kim. Like that's her focus. I'm like, it's not really my arena. This is like what she focuses on. So like, go check that out. But hiring someone is so valuable, and like, it's so weird that when it's people and expertise, we're like T-Rex arms. We don't want to pay anyone for their time. We don't think anyone is worth any money, but like, we'll go out and buy $1,000 iPhone or a 200 pair of shoes, like to a giant company. No question.
Right.
Like when it's things, we seem to think like it's more valuable than when it's a person who is actually invested and they want you to succeed. So I just wrapped up with this client who she was about to sign on for another, we've been working together for about 9 months, and she was about to sign on for another 3. And I preemptively emailed her before her thing renewed. Like, I think maybe you should think about stopping working with me for a little bit. Like, my goal is not to have you pay me forever just to check in every week. Like, I want to provide you tools to be able to do this in your life. And if you feel like you want to like check back in at some point, great. But like, I think you're probably ready at this point to just kind of go live your life. And she was like, you know, thank you for, you know, saying that, da da da. Like, I appreciate that. Like, a good coach, I think, not to be like, oh, I'm a good coach, will want you to learn and then be able to work on your own. Like, that's the point of doing this. We hire coaches for everything, like business, people with businesses hire business coaches. Professional basketball players have coaches. They're professional. They're paid millions of dollars a year to play basketball. And they probably know how to play basketball, but they still have a coach. They still have trainers. Like, when it comes to this kind of stuff, like, yeah, there is so much to digest and there are so many places to start. Pay somebody to help guide you along the way. And that, like, to me, that's where you start. Like, I would have rather started with that and not Google.
Oh God, yeah. I think about all the dumb stuff that I've done and like all the time and money spent wasted on like shit that did not work.
Yeah.
Diets, workouts, whatever. Get someone who can look at your situation from the outside view and give you the tools that you need to, you know, what your specific goals are, what your specific needs are, instead of just trying shit out. Yeah, you can Google stuff. Like, I can Google and like, let me try keto, or let me try this new supplement that tells me I'm going to like, you know, burn 20 pounds of fat in a week. You can Google shit, but
drink this tea.
Yeah. Drink this Belly Slim tea. But having someone to have like that outside eye can tell you like, here are the signs that this thing's working for you. Here are the signs that maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Here are some things that maybe we can try, or things I love to do with my clients. Like, start with the basic stuff and like, then we have, okay, cool, that's working now. Now here's where to take the next step, versus somebody who could Google a diet and be like, cool, I'm going to go paleo and that's going to fix everything.
Yeah. Or they Google so many different things and we end up, it's human nature. We find the thing that is closest to what we're already doing, so we don't have to change that much. So like, one of the things that used to drive me nuts when I was still doing my podcast is Everett would say something about keto and how like you can just put Alfredo sauce on everything. I'm like, well, Yes, but also, like, if you're listening to this, maybe don't do that as your as your test out of keto. But I think that's why people love, that's one of, like, the people I know who divert to low carb, which is also why I liked it, is it tends to be people like, yeah, it's more fun to eat bacon and ribeye and butter than it is, like, when you're eating higher carb, you're not eating pizza and donuts and all that, like, because those are also pretty high in fat and calories. You're eating more like chicken breast and pork tenderloin and white rice and a potato. Like, it's not as fun. So I think when we're looking at things, we tend to veer towards the diet that, like, already kind of fits what we want. Like, oh, I really like eating this stuff, so I'm just going to try this. But then the other, like, the other part of why hiring a coach is so impactful and helpful is just the accountability aspect. Like, one of the things she said to me, she's like, I feel so silly because, like, at this point, it's really just accountability. And I'm like, well, yeah, like, I have hired nutrition coaches for myself before. I know what to do. But having someone to check in with every week and say, like, I had my goal that I set out, and sometimes it would be stuff like, I tend to not eat enough vegetables, eat a vegetable at 2 to 3 meals. Even if I set that goal for myself, if I'm not checking in with somebody to say I did it or I didn't do it, I'm way less likely to actually do it. Cause I'm like, oh, didn't do it today, whatever. Like, so, like, even if you just need someone to be accountable to, like, that's all business mentors are, is, hey, you're going to send out 100 emails this week. If you have to then come back and say yes or no, I sent out 100 emails, you're more likely to send out those 100 emails. Yeah. So, like, aside from just, yes, you can Google all the information, but unless you've got someone that is that third perspective of, hey, maybe this isn't working, let's try this. Hey, it sounds like that is working, or just to check in, like, it's so, so, so helpful. And it gets us away from, like, we tend to think if it's not a drastic result in a week, it's not working. So having somebody on the outside to be like, I see it in CrossFit all the time. Someone's like, well, I can't do pull-ups. Why can't I do pull-ups? I'm like,
are you working?
Could you even hang on the bar 6 months ago?
Right.
Well, no. Can you hang on the bar now? Yeah. Okay. So we've made some progress. Yes, there's still somewhere to go, but having someone to remind you, like, look in the rearview mirror sometimes, see how far you've come, and don't let where you still want to go be the thing that kills everything you've accomplished thus far. So, like, maybe you haven't hit that full goal. Your eczema hasn't completely cleared, but maybe you're sleeping better. Maybe you're not as bloated after you eat. Like, there are all these little things that when you're alone and you don't have that second set of eyes, like, we tend to miss because we're so hard on ourselves and we want so much more. But when there's somebody else there, they can, like, it's so much more encouraging when you've got a partner. So, like, I'm constantly just like, hire a coach, hire a coach, hire a coach, hire a coach.
No, it makes, it's true. And, also something that people struggle with is, like, it's weak if I need to get help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really. But, like, nutrition especially, I should know. Like, oh, I know. I should eat vegetables and I should probably not eat a lot of sugar and drink beer, you know, all day, every day. Yeah. But that's not it. And people think that I know better, so I should be able to do better. So getting help from somebody is, you know, it's not what I need. Or
yeah. Or it all comes back to, like, feeling, and this is why on the coach's side, it's so important to be empathetic with people, not sympathetic, like, and feel sorry for them, but understand where they're coming from and come at it not from a place of judgment and, like, make a face when they tell you that they ate a burger. Like, that fear of judgment of I am quote unquote failing in my nutrition. So I'm scared to hire a coach because this person probably eats a perfect diet and never has any of these issues. And now I'm going to have to tell them all of the, like, quote, wrong foods that I eat, which is a story we tell ourselves, and it stops us from getting help.
That's true.
That we probably need, like, because we're so worried about that, what that person's going to think. But, like, any coach worth their salt has heard all the things, has probably done all the things. Like, no one is born and eats, like, the picture of health for their whole life, which, even, it depends on who you ask what that even is. So that's another thing worth considering, is, like, what you have in your mind as a perfect diet is totally different than what someone two doors down thinks is the perfect diet. and what the perfect diet for you is different from what the perfect diet for me is. So that's just like a narrative that we're so scared of being judged that then we end up just missing asking for that help or hiring that person, which is like, that's why they're there. They're there. They're not, they want you to have things to work on. Exactly. Because the most frustrating thing as a coach is when someone comes to you and you can't find anything. You're like, well, you sleep a lot and you do yoga and you meditate and you eat all the vegetables and that's grass-fed and I'm not really sure what to do here. I think you need to go to a physician and get blood work.
Right, right.
Like having, I don't know, we just, everybody's got their stuff. Like, even the nutrition coach that you think has the perfect plan, like, everybody's got it. And if they say they don't, they're lying.
True. Oh gosh. Well, yeah.
I know, time is gone.
I know, but it sucks because, like, you know, this shit's important and we keep talking about it, but there's always an opportunity to come back. And I know you're always very active on Instagram. So, you know, for those who were listening and not following you, you know, where's the best place to do that?
The best place to find me right now is on Instagram at The Girl With The Butter. I'm working on revamping the blog just because, like, The Girl With The Butter kind of started. Actually, you were the one who said something like The Girl With The Butter, and that's why I had that.
I was literally looking for The Girl With The Butter. So I could
But that was so when I was really talking about nutrition and, like, at the end of the day where I am now, I've kind of come to terms with the fact that I more have a lifestyle blog than a nutrition blog, even though that feels very millennial to say. Like, I just had to accept the truth of, like, I talk a little bit about nutrition and also travel and restaurants and fitness and mindset and a whole bunch of different things. So that's really what it is. So the blog is going to be transitioning to bigbrashlife.com. Sooner than later. So probably by the time this is out, that's where the website will be. Likely I'll still be at The Girl With The Butter on Instagram though. So that's where I'm primarily active now. And then we'll relaunch the blog within the next, like, couple weeks.
Okay, cool. I'll put both of those in the show notes. And, you know, like I said, by the time this releases, if anything's different or whatever, we can always change it.
But, yeah. I'll just shoot you a line.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. This was so fun. I love that we talked so much about, like, not food.
I know. It's not all about food. Food is so important, but it is just not all about food.
And that's what someone messaged me, like, why don't you have the podcast anymore? Like, I really liked it. And my honest answer was, like, I'm like, I could not talk about if celery will kick you out of keto anymore. Like, we did like 200 episodes or something. I cannot continue to have that conversation.
Yeah.
There are people having that conversation out there. And I think that those are really important. But for me, I can't keep talking about it. So, like, all of this other stuff, there's space for that too. And there's a need to talk about that too. So I'm really happy that we talked so much about, like, not, should I eat this? Should I not eat that?
Amen. Because we can't even tell you if you should or shouldn't.
I don't know.
Oh God. All right. Well, we're done. We're wrapping up. Sorry we've taken all of your time if you've made it this far. Thank you. Make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram. We're at Balanced Babes Podcast. We also have our Balanced Babes community on Facebook where we talk about all the things, women's health and food and mindset and hormones and everything in between. You can follow me personally at Root and Branch Nutrition, and we'll see you next week.